Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hour 5, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. A little sports hodgepodge with the Chief coming up here in about 20 minutes. Right now, Chuck Wagon on a Mike McCarthy is Dunsky Cowboys Monday here on The Fan. Well, Chuck, how you holding up, buddy?
I'm doing okay. I don't know. Just a given state of the Cowboys right now, it is very, very difficult to show a lot of optimism. I mean, the names that we're throwing out there, they're not names that I think anybody should be super pumped about. The Aaron Glenn one aside, I can get excited about Aaron Glenn and the possibility of maybe him stealing some offensive mind from that Lions staff that doesn't go with Ben Johnson. Like, Kellen Moore does not excite me. Okay, Jason Witten, that's not exciting. Maybe if they did the Witten thing, they get lucky like they did with Romo and Dak. But that's really the only hope that I can get around with that. Otherwise, I don't know. Like Sark, that'd be an interesting one. I don't doubt Sark is capable of juggling all that comes with being the Dallas Cowboys head coach. But I think if you ask Texas fans, one, they'd be ticked about it. But two, they also would point out some in-game mismanagement. And certainly the red zone is an issue with Sark as an offensive play caller as well. Texas has been bad in the red zone all season long. And I don't know that it's just a quarterback problem. I think that's been an issue for some of his offenses. But this is one where let's throw out what Jimmy said yesterday. Now, obviously, we're not doing trade for trade. But if said coach became available, I think maybe there would be an open mind to a swap here, even if it's not technically coach for coach. Here was Jimmy on the pregame on Fox yesterday.
Yeah, Terry, now I've got no inside information, but, you know, things are stale in Pittsburgh. Things are stale in Dallas. And just food for thought. How about a coaching swap? Mike McCarthy's a Pittsburgh guy. Let him go to Pittsburgh. Let Mike Tomlin go to Dallas. Both franchises would be excited.
But then the only problem is, I mean, you said they're both stale, but one continues to make the playoffs and the other one doesn't. That's not stale.
Hey, I'll tell you,
one's having more success.
It's true. Now, Pittsburgh said today Mike Tomlin's not going anywhere. This would take either the Cowboys are calling Pittsburgh and trying to trade for him, or indeed they would let him go, and maybe Pittsburgh looks at Mike McCarthy, who is a Pittsburgh guy. He's sure open about that, and think, hey, maybe Mike McCarthy would be an upgrade here. Maybe both sides just need a change. I was very interested when he said this. Obviously, it was before we knew Mike wasn't coming back, so maybe like an actual coach swap, even though it's unprecedented. I don't know if that's even possible. But Mike Tomlin, I would be very interested as the Dallas Cowboys head coach if that had any legs to it whatsoever.
Yeah, I would love to see what he could do here. You know, you could do much worse than a guy with a proven track record of, you know, helping build teams and put them over 500. I'm in a spot here where I thought Mike McCarthy was better than any coach they would most likely hire, especially if you look at everybody they've hired besides Jimmy and Bill Parcells. So I was sort of happy with Mike McCarthy because I could at least see it. You know, going into this unknown world, to me, there's like less than a 5% chance that they come up with somebody better than Mike McCarthy, and I can be excited about that. But really, the only reason to be excited is for change and hope.
Yeah.
You know, that they do find that transcendent leader who can explain to the front office exactly why we need a team build in this way and why you need to leave me alone so I can instill discipline and accountability with these guys. You know, Jerry Jones' ego is so massive, he wants to essentially take the head coach's, you know, role of determining who's on the team and who's not on the team and discipline and who's playing and who's not playing, you know, without having to go through any of the daily grind of being a head coach.
Yeah, without just naming himself.
Yeah.
Just name yourself.
I don't know if Tomlin would go for that, you know?
I don't think it would either. I think Mike Tomlin pretty much runs everything there in Pittsburgh. He's not going to have that same ability here. I know we have a lot of pushback from a ton of Cowboy fans that wonder, like, would Jerry actually hire a black head coach? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that he wouldn't, but he hasn't done it. So until it happens, I know there's a lot of people that constantly text in, even when we're having the conversation about Aaron Glenn, that are like, I'll believe it when I see it. I don't know if that is something that crosses his mind and he's like, I'm not going to hire that man. But Tomlin, to me, it's not the same. Like somebody texted in, that's the same as what you just said. It's not. What Mike Tomlin's done in Pittsburgh is find ways to constantly have that team with a winning record that honestly probably shouldn't be a 5 or 6 win football team. He's winning games with guys like Duck Hodges at quarterback, Mason Rudolph. He's finding ways to get to the playoffs. I understand they have not won a playoff game since 2016, and there's something to be said there, right? But it's also like, all right, you've got Dak Prescott, who is without a doubt better than anybody he's had since Ben Roethlisberger. In fact, probably better than the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career. I'd love to see what he could do here, because I have no doubt the team's never going to underachieve under Tomlin. If anything, he's going to get everyone around Dak to overachieve. Is that enough to finally go ahead and put them over the top? Now, the offensive coordinator stuff, it's perfect. Jerry can hire the OC. Tomlin's not good at hiring offensive coordinators. Let Jerry do what he wants. Let him put Jason Witten there as the offensive coordinator if he wants to. Screw it. Tomlin might not like it. I don't think that this realistically works, but I'd be all about Mike Tomlin here.
Well, I hope I'm right. I do feel like Jerry would hire a black coach if everything was lined up perfectly. But I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I know the kid in that picture back in Little Rock, Arkansas wouldn't. And I don't know how much a leopard changes his spots over the course of his lifetime. But, I mean, the track record, I don't know that he's ever seriously considered doing it. So, you know, maybe that should, you know, be the thing that most dictates my opinion. But I feel like, you know, he's hired black assistant coaches. He's obviously in the football business. And, you know, if the right candidate was out there, you know, and this guy was going to be super loyal to Jerry Jones, you know, then, yeah, I mean, you have tons of black employees across your organization. I don't know why you would look at a head coach that differently if you're Jerry Jones, but I can't put myself in his brain.
Yeah, and look, 2-4. Yeah, Mike McCarthy won with Cooper Rush. I agree. I hear you. But Mike McCarthy's not here anymore. And Mike McCarthy also had their offense consistently failing in the postseason when you needed them to perform. So a change might be perfect for both parties. Now
I'll tell you this. I don't think he'd hire Dion, because Dion is the kind of guy that would speak his mind. Mm-hmm. And if an issue came up socially, Dion would blast mm-hmm. out his strong take on it. Right? He would stand on the principle of it. You know.
Yeah. So and I'd say buy more into the Dion stuff if Dion hadn't come out himself and said, I really just want to coach my sons. And at 12 and having signed Dak, there's no way you're getting Shador Sanders. So I just don't see Dion as being a realistic
option. I hope he'd hire Dion if he said, I will refuse to let Shador play for anybody but the Cowboys. Go ahead and hire me. And Shador's holding out until 12. I would hope that opportunity would be too good to pass up.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be realistic if you didn't have Dak under contract right now. You could at least speak it into some realm of realistic possibility. But
we're 2 years away from anything resembling an out on that contract, right?
Yeah, yeah. From my understanding,
it's gonna be tough. You can't.
I mean, draft and develop. Still, that would be the best thing you could do with that 12th pick, even if you have to wait a couple of years. I mean, the Chiefs waited for Mahomes.
They did. Now, speaking of Washington, like, here's a team that completely flipped in just a year, and it helps when you find the quarterback. That might be the most important thing. Magic Johnson has been a minority owner of the Commanders, along with Josh Harris, who helped buy that, also an owner in the NBA. And here was them post-game last night, and this is a very, very different type of conversation than what we're having here in Dallas.
This man right here. No, this is serious. You said, what does it take? New vision, new owner with a strategy, picking the right people. First, our coach, Coach Quinn, Adam Peters, and then we all step out the way and let them do their job.
Talent, culture, and people.
There it is.
Talent, culture, and people.
So that's it. Don't make this about us. It's about those guys.
Yeah. Well, Matt, did you envision it happening this fast, 2 years?
Quarterback.
How could you?
Got to get him quarterback.
We'll see you guys in Detroit. It's going
to
be cool.
Make it about those guys.
And ultimately, it all comes down to the quarterback. But the one thing that he said there was, step aside, let them do their jobs. I just think that comes back to right now being like the number one thing. You know, there's been a lot of good things that Jerry's done. It's not to say like it's all bad. There's been a lot of good. But at this point, it's just let your coaches do their jobs. Let the scouting department and Will McClay do their jobs. Like, just, you've hired people, trust them to do so. You don't have to have a hand in everything and be so just hell-bent on being the one who gets all the credit as being the dude who finally did this his way.
Okay, I want to challenge you a little bit on that, Woolchuck. Okay, I don't want to fight, but okay. I do think there's at least four things here that are wrong with this organization that I would love the next head coach to fix.
Okay.
And the culture of not letting coaches do their job is a big one. That's going to be incumbent upon that coach to manage up, to figure out a way to tell the Joneses, I need to be able to do what I do for the best of this. But I think finding a stud quarterback is bigger. Right, Romo and Dak aren't as good as what Jaden Daniels is going to be, what Patrick Mahomes is going to be, what Tom Brady was. The guys that are winning the majority of the championships have that Hall of Fame quarterback. Your salary cap management is so god-awful. They're trying to make the playoffs every year instead of go for it a couple of years and then rebuild for a couple of years. I think the coaching quality, right, of finding the right coaches who can give you a dynamic game plan and ability to call plays. You know, those three things I think might even be bigger than the bad culture that you create by not letting coaches do their job, because they've still managed to have a tremendous amount of success. You know, it's the difference making quarterbacks, game plans, a guy like an Andy Reid, a guy like a Bill Belichick, you know, and then for me, a lot of it's going to come back to salary cap management. You have to target a couple of years per decade where you're absolutely full sending, push all in.
Yeah.
Unless you have Mahomes or Brady and you can rebuild while winning championships, everybody else has to sort of ride that pendulum.
And I'm with you, and I guess it's who's responsible for all of that. And there's at least one person who says that he is. Now, Mike Sando in his pick six today had an interesting part of his article. And he was talking about the hiring process. He said, for teams that are chasing the hot offensive coordinators, don't fool yourselves. Now, his whole point here, and I guess this really just comes back to the quarterbacks to me. That's what I got out of it. But he said, to illustrate, let's take a quick look at the head coaches for the top five offenses by expected points added per play this season. So you had John Harbaugh of the Ravens, never called offensive plays. Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills, McDermott never called offensive plays. Then there's Dan Campbell, who was more of a position coach, never really was a primary play caller. Todd Bowles, never called plays. Dan Quinn, never called plays, right? But what is something that they all have? And that is a quarterback. You look at the bottom five teams, EPA, Stefanski in Cleveland, two-time NFL Coach of the Year, veteran play caller, but no quarterback. Antonio Pierce, no quarterback. Brian Callahan, offensive guy, but clearly doesn't have a quarterback. Brian Daboll of the Giants, also their own fault, but no quarterback, offensive guy. And then we just saw what happened with Jerod Mayo. So with this, it might be less of like, okay, unless you do get the head coach, it's also the play caller that works out, which I think is proven when you look across the league. There's a very select few of those dudes right now. McVay, O'Connell, Shanahan. I'm trying to think of who else would even fit that category, but it's more probably about the staff, right? Can you find the right offensive coordinator underneath that head coach? Because the top five guys outside of Campbell, they're all defensive dudes. And then Harbaugh, who's a special teams guy, they just identified the right dude to come in and call the plays for them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it can be a balance of the two, right? If you're going to get a defensive coach, just make sure they've got the right plan to bring in the right offensive guy. That kind of seems like that might be the formula that's worked well. Sure has for D'Amico Ryans, although he might have to go back to the drawing board with Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, you know, and I think you need to make trades and free agent additions where you miss in the draft. Like the Texans pointing out, they've had some big misses in the trenches, whether it's Taco or Tristan Hill or, you know, maybe Tyler Guyton is one. You know, I don't know exactly, but the trench play hasn't been great. So, you know, if you are going to target a championship, when you miss on spots where you know you had a hole, and that's why you wrote it down in round one, we are taking an edge. When you miss on that, if you want to win big in 2021 or 2022, when you're going up against the 49ers, you better go out there like the Rams, Buccaneers, and Eagles do and say, who's the best player we can get at this position? And, you know, to hell with the future of the salary cap, we need to get this done right now, because nobody's going to draft perfect, mm-hmm. right? The right. Cowboys and Eagles have drafted about the same over the last decade, had some big hits, sometimes some misses. The difference is Howie Roseman finds ways to patch those holes. Sure. As Jared Sandler steps in studio with us now here in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the 2023 World Series champion Texas Rangers. And the Hot Stove Show kicking off tonight, Sands. It's been amazing. Since I walked in just after noon today, there's been a big line downstairs. I can't imagine the scene right now. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's great. Great seeing you guys. Can we add something to the Blake Elliott comment? Do we have like a name for the dumb stuff that he says or asks?
Blake it or leave it?
Blake mistake. Yeah. Blake mistake. I think he asked me. I don't know if he can hear or not. No, I don't think he can.
He's thinking hard about something.
Thinking really hard about something. I do not want to know what's going on.
Dinner.
He's squinting.
He asked me, so that the show is in the showroom, right? Downstairs. Mm-hmm. So when you come to the building in which we are all currently occupying, which we, and Blake has probably been to over 100 times, all of us combined, probably over like 20,000 times. I don't know.
Yeah.
The showroom is located on the first floor. You might not know where the showroom is, but you sure as heck know that the showroom is not up here on the 11th floor where we go every single day, right?
No. Yeah.
I think Blake asked me, and I'm still trying to process the question, is the show you're doing in the showroom downstairs? And I was like, yeah, that's the showroom's downstairs. So you're going to be in the showroom. I said, well, that's where the show is. He's like, okay, I just wasn't sure. Yeah. But, like, I just don't, like...
That's a guy who's detail-oriented. He wants to make sure that he's not stepping out on any limbs before he knows that thing's strong.
Yeah, are you guys going to be up on the 11th floor tomorrow, or are you guys on remote? You're probably on remote tomorrow.
No,
yeah.
No, we are up on the 11th floor tomorrow.
Will one of you be on, like, the 7th floor, and then, like, the other one, like... Brock, are you going to be in Baton Rouge tomorrow for the show?
I was thinking, man, the 10th floor looks nice when you go down there.
Is there
I went down there and grabbed some tea for Dawson. And
oh, they
I,
have tea down there.
Yeah, and so and then, like, you know, and so I'm like, man, they've got a setup down there. Yeah. Where I was kind of jealous. You know, walking around, it was really nice.
This bathroom is a good idea, though. Nobody's on the 10th floor usually.
Yeah, the 11th floor bathrooms are not where you want to go.
No. We do know Roki Sasaki's not going to be any part of this station or showroom anytime.
Yeah, he's not going to be on Hot Stuff tonight. No.
Okay.
But
yeah, Marcus Semien.
Marcus Semien, Cody Bradford, the World Series trophy.
Man, let's go.
Right? We'll have some giveaways. We'll do some trivia in between. And because the line was so long, and it extends into our parking garage, they are extending the autograph portion of the evening. So instead of Cody and Marcus signing from 6:30 to 7, they're going to go through 7:15. So that first segment, we're going to do a live Q&A. Let some of the Rangers fans... ask some questions. Well, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about Roki. Should be fun.
Rangers fans are amazing. I mean, whether it's the toy drive or Sandler swinging for a cause or this event right here, it never ceases to surprise me their passion and commitment to following and you know, being involved with this baseball team. One baseball question for you, Sans. Do we need a closer before spring training?
Yes, I think so. I'd like one. Okay. Can you figure it out along the way? Sure, but I don't think you want to.
Are there candidates out there?
Do you want to
run it back with Kirby Yates?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've talked to you guys about this. The Rangers have not had the same closer for back-to-back seasons since Joe Nathan, like, start and finish the year. They've obviously, like, had incumbents who lose the job in April or May because they don't.
Sam Dyson.
What's that?
Sam Dyson.
Sam Dyson, one of several, right? Sean Tolleson, another guy, you know, who. But I'd like Kirby Yates. I think the Tanner Scott four-year deal, that kind of scares me a little bit. So. Kirby Yates is not a sure thing. None of these guys are, but I'll take Kirby and run it back.
Kind of hearing, though, that there's teams that are very interested in him. The money not where he wants it, but they're ready for him to fall apart, and he hasn't fallen apart.
Right. And
that's the kind of the thing. Nobody knows how to gauge.
Yeah.
Like, is this the year we pay him?
And the bottom falls out.
And the bottom falls out. Waiting for the bottom to fall out, and he's got people that are interested in him. It's just they can't get the money to work.
Probably wants more than what they're willing to offer.
Let's be honest, he had one of the best years for a reliever in franchise history, right? There's an interesting trajectory, right? In a lot of sports, you get to your 30s, like 30, 31, 32. Okay, now we're going to start to see the abilities wane a little bit. But for pitchers, because so many of these guys spend their 20s hurt and not throwing, they don't necessarily follow that same bell curve. And so for Kirby Yates, his age and his workload don't match up because he had so many injuries early on. And so I think one side of it is, well, you're nearing 40. This is going to start to slow. The other side is there really isn't a lot of gas that's been used out of that tank. And so maybe you do have a few more years to buck the trend a little bit.
Love watching him pitch. Would love to have him back. Is there still room for people down there? I can't imagine, right? Is it to capacity?
I mean, I don't want to say, like, don't show up because I don't think that's, like, what we're supposed to say, but I'd say that if you're trying to get an autograph and you're not here, you're probably SOL. But you can join the show.
Still be an enchanted. Okay, you still get there in there for that. Yes.
Couple of Tolos texts in trying to get that Jared Sandler Hancock. Are you going to be signed? You got a little Sharpie on there?
I would gladly, but I'm going to ruin the value. No one needs my autograph.
Lies.
But I would be happy to do it, but I'm just warning you that the value, like, you're going to start to have to owe money to the government if I sign
something. I've heard negative value.
Yeah.
Jared Sandler, currently the best pasta maker in DFW as he's come back from Italy.
You were taking probably notes
only
there?
Be second best.
A true pasta maker.
That was awesome. I had a great time.
It looked delicious.
I love food. Yeah.
Thank you, Sans.
See you guys.